All right, welcome back to another fantastic episode of Small Business Chronicles. I'm your host, Brian Stone, a serial entrepreneur and real estate coach. And look, I love this show because we get to have real conversations with real business owners and all different kinds of industries. But this is an industry that I haven't talked to yet. And my guest has a wealth of experience, not only in one company, not only two, but she actually has four companies of her own. And she's helped hundreds of companies over the years to also grow either and scale their product or their service that they provide. So I know it's going to be a fantastic conversation. I'm actually meeting today with Amy Ann DeJohn, and she has over 20 years of experience in the beauty industry across a multitude of different companies, some her own, some helping others. And so when it comes to entrepreneurship, not everybody always thinks of the beauty industry, but in reality, that entrepreneurial spirit is alive and well in every single industry you could possibly imagine. So while I might not be the most beautiful host that you've ever seen, this is definitely going to be a wonderful conversation. So we'll jump right in. Amy Ann, how are you today?
I'm excellent, Brian, and that is an amazing introduction. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was natural. I have tried the scripted thing. It doesn't work. It's so much better to just get to know who you're talking to and then have a real conversation. So I appreciate that.
I'm excited to dive right in and share some ideas. And, being an entrepreneur is probably the hardest thing that you'll ever do. And if I can help and share insights and share my successes and mostly failures and pivotal moments, I'm excited to do that.
Yeah, well, and I'm excited to throw you some curveballs today. So I know we're going to have an unfiltered conversation. And look, I want to do you justice. So correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, just for context, because I think credibility is important for anybody that's listening. So, you have multiple companies. You have, Media Lab Science, you have Amy Ann Beauty LLC, you have Charisma Beauty, you also have some freelance writing in your background. I mean, am I missing anything for the whole suite of services that you've got covered?
A little bit. I started with my first business, Lux Spa, in Rochester, New York, and I sold that in 2005. And then started consulting for many years and working with indie beauty brands. Started my own brand, Charisma Beauty, which I successfully exited in 2023. And then started Media Lab Science and exited that in 2021. And I'm still the co-founder and general manager. So although I've had different businesses at different times, I've only had a couple at the same time. So I'm not running, I don't want people to think I'm crazy. I'm not running four businesses at the same time and helping entrepreneurs. So I'm currently only running two businesses and I'm helping entrepreneurs.
Love that. Well, thank you for the clarification. And I think people would still say that's crazy, so depending on who you talk to. What really got you started into the beauty industry? Give us a little bit of context on why you're so passionate about being involved in all of these different ventures that you have been involved in over the years.
Well, it's interesting. I do think that the formative years, those middle school and high school years, really do form who you are. And in those years, I was super athletic, but I was also into art, into theater, into makeup, doing my friend's makeup, doing makeup for the cheerleaders and doing nails, plucking people's eyebrows, cutting people's hair. And so I think it was just this natural progression of my creative spirit in combination with my passion for making things beautiful. And so when I went to school for marketing, I was also working for Estee Lauder at the time, behind the counter doing makeup. And it was this combination of business and marketing that made me think about beauty.
Hmm. Well, and I have a very, very short stint of my resume, and I want to emphasize this is very short in terms of the beauty industry. And that was when I actually did work in the retail space in cosmetics. For a very, very short stint. So I learned a lot of appreciation for all of the just the overwhelming variety of products and information and consumer confusion that exist within that industry. And so I know that there's a lot of people like yourself that really are passionate about shedding some light on education and then getting into the product development side of things, because You know, I was placed in that apartment for a while. And I found the only thing I was effectively good at actually helping people with was cologne, because I would have ladies come in and they would ask me if I liked the smell, and I'd say, yeah, it's great. And then that would help them make their decision. But everything else I was completely ignorant to. So there's got to be a huge learning curve with that industry.
I think it's one of those things. It's basically when you know, right? You can teach people how to do makeup, right? And I can teach people how to do creative things, but you have to have that innate talent. And I think that goes across any industry. You have to be able to do it almost all by yourself. And yes, you can have education and training, but if I didn't have the eye naturally, it would have been a much harder road. And that's for anything that you do. You have to have a general understanding. Your brain must work that way. You know, we talk about like personality tests. We talk about like what you're good at, what you're bad at. You know, I hated doing things that I'm bad at, and I still don't like to do things that I'm not good at. Even if I can learn, it's not easy for me. And so as an entrepreneur, I think that you should create something that you're good at, right? That you really feel, not just because there's a need, but because it's something that you can be good at. And then you can share that passion across all platforms.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Amy Ann, because, you know, We've had a lot of conversations with professionals on this medium, right? This podcast medium, but there is one commonality, and that is that they all believe in whatever it is that they do, right? Because you can't successfully build and scale and sell a product or service if you don't actually believe in what it is that you're selling. Maybe to a point you can, right? Maybe you can push your way through it, but your energy will absolutely run out if you're trying to hustle and push something that is not actually a passion of yours.
I have a great story. Why this is coming up, I don't know. Maybe because we were talking about the counter and working behind the counter and doing makeup. But in the 90s, I had this passion for lime green eyeshadow, and I wore it every single day, and I thought everyone looked good in lime green eyeshadow, and I sold the entire Bloomingdale's of the counter out of this lime green eyeshadow. And the account executive came in and said, "Who's selling this lime green eyeshadow?" And I'm like, "It's me." And they're like, "Why are you selling it to everybody? Like, it looks good on everybody, you know, it really does." And she's like, "Okay, well, I'm going to transfer all the lime green eyeshadow in from New York into this store." And then I sold out of that lime green eyeshadow. And why? I believed that it really looked good on everyone. And I told them that, and they bought it. And so that if you believe in something, then it's true. Maybe.
Well, to me, that's evangelism. I think at the heart of sales and in business, evangelism is part of it, right? And what I mean by that, if you look at it defined, is it's not that people believe in what you say. It's that they believe that you believe in what it is that you're saying, right? And so I think that's a great story, because, you know, you wouldn't have sold out of all of that shade if you didn't truly believe that it looked good on everybody, right? Coming from the real estate space, if I didn't truly believe that everybody should own a home and nobody should be out there renting, then I would be a terrible real estate professional, right? Why would I sell something that I don't actually believe in? So great story. What wasn't off the wall. Now I'm going to have to be looking around for lime green eyeshadow. I'm probably going to start seeing it. That's what is it? Your RAS, your reticular activator system. Once something's in your mind, you start to see it everywhere. It's coming up.
And 90s style is coming back, so you will see it, and you might be texting me and say, "Thank you, Amy Ann."
Hey, I'm excited about it. Well, I want to shift gears, because I know we could talk colors and shades and cosmetics all day long. But I'm really excited to have you on the show because of your background. It's not just because of the cosmetics industry. It's also because you've been through a lot of success and a lot of, we'll say, missed opportunity in your business journey through multiple different facets. And so I'd love to just have an open conversation about what you learned along the way and what you feel like would be the biggest lessons that you learned in business. I mean, can you think of one particular moment that was really impactful for you in business?
You know, one of the hardest things and the most memorable things for me was realizing the financials behind a business and realizing that, you know, it's great. A great idea is great. But when you hire people on and you have employees, you have to pay them and you have to pay them on time. You have to pay the government on time. You have to pay your sales tax on time, and all of that has to matter. And I think that so many people go into business not really understanding cash flow, not understanding a balance sheet, not understanding a P&L, because risk takers are not usually accountants, and accountants are not usually risk takers. And so having either yourself or someone on your team that understands the finances and the projections, because the last thing, and it did happen to me early on, is I had to call my brother-in-law and ask him for $10,000 for a week because we had a really bad week and I needed to pay the people. And I had already run out of all of my personal money. I had to pay the people to keep the business going. And I know that so many entrepreneurs have this problem where they're like, I have this great idea and I know I could make it work, but where do I get the money? You know, and nobody's going to invest in you unless you invest in yourself. And I mean, not just invest in yourself in time, but if you don't put money in, no one else is going to put money in.
Well, and you hit on something that's so prevalent in the small and medium business space, really in the large businesses too. And that's that, you know, what makes you good at selling and scaling isn't necessarily setting you up for success when it comes to profit, right? Because sales and management are two different things, right? Being a visionary for your company is different than being an operator, right? And you have to wear a lot of hats, especially if you're just starting out and you don't have that capital. So, I mean, what are the indications that you think business owners should be looking for to determine, okay, I've got a problem?
You need to have at least 3 months of cash flow. And you also need to know, after those 3 months of cash flow, you also need to know that how you're going to get additional revenues. And, you know, banks don't want to give small businesses loans. And I don't care what anybody says. They don't. You know, the SBA turned me down like 10 times. I never got money from the SBA ever. And they're like, Yeah, they're like, we can help women, we can do this. But I was never able to get that. Why? Because I don't have a salary because I'm an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the, what was it? It was somewhere around, I was talking to a commercial loan officer the other day here locally. He said it was somewhere around 31 million that I think he had seen as far as approved SBA loans. And if you think about that nationally, that is pennies compared to the number of applications that they had. That is a crazy low acceptance rate. So you're 100% right. It's money is not always out there and easily accessible. You can go private equity, but usually there's a huge cost to that. And I love what you talked about having 3 months of cash flow, because there's some questions you have to answer before you can even get there. Okay, first of all, what do I cost per month? What is my business actually cost? I have to know what that number is, and I have to know projected revenue. I've got to have all my books in order to even be able to start building up towards that. And I'll be vulnerable here and say that for my first entrepreneurial venture, the first business that I owned, it took me a year and a half to financially recover and regain my footing from the first 2.5 years in business because of all of the mistakes that I made. I didn't have the runway. I didn't balance my books. I didn't have a P&L. I did bank balance accounting. So where I looked at it, and if there was money there, then I could swipe. And if there wasn't, then I didn't, right? And that is not how you run a business.
Oh, it's absolutely true. And if you don't have that financial background, you don't even know where to start, right? I mean, I would go through, in my first business, I would go through accountants, you know, like flavors of the week, because they wouldn't like the way that I wanted to run the business. And they would fight me tooth and nail. And finally, some senior accountant who said, you know, I know that you're successful because I see the cash coming in, but you're just not managing it right. And I'm going to show you how to manage that, right? And so in the 3 years that we built the business from $15,000 to over, you know, $1 million, we were able to do that, right? And then on top of it, I sold the business to a forensic accountant and his wife. And that, what does that tell you? It tells you that I did learn, right? But it just took the right person to have patience. But I certainly wasn't the one that had patience, because I was so busy trying to run the business and making the sales and running the operation that the last thing that I wanted to do was the accounting portion. But once learning that and understanding how they really work together, and then I started sharing that. And I think as an entrepreneur, it's really scary to share with your team where you are, right? Because you have this fear that if they know how bad it is, or how good it is, if they know how bad it is, they're going to leave. And if they know how good it is, they're going to ask you for more money. And there's that constant balance. And so what we used to have is these weekly 30-minute huddles of, here's where we are with the numbers this week, you know, but then the thing is, like, I would never be upset, good or bad, you know, about something. I just, like, this is just where we are. And we just all need to know where we are so we can know where we want to go. And sharing that, it gave ownership to all the team members who are running their departments. So, you know, whether it was nails or hair or skin, they're all like, hey, you know, I think we're a little bit low this week, so I'm going to start pushing. So it wasn't me telling them that they had to do it. It was me sharing and them deciding as responsible people in the business that they were going to help make this business successful.
Well, it gives them the opportunity to have an ownership stake, right? I love the way that you framed that, Amy, and because you're giving them the information. You're not positive or negative. And you're exactly right. One of the best things that you can do, in my opinion, in a small business is be open book. And it doesn't mean that you have to show absolutely every line item, right? You don't have to bore them. You're not an accountant. You probably would be bad at presenting that way anyway. But you can give them just a basic, hey, red, green. You know what I mean? We're either up or we're down. Because here's the misconception that I think business owners have. They have the same fears that you just mentioned. Well, if I show too much, then they're going to ask for more, or they're going to, you know, think I'm taking advantage of them. If I show too little, then they're going to be concerned and start looking for work elsewhere. But in reality, you know, they're going to do the math themselves, especially your front end salespeople, right? Because they know the revenue they're bringing in, because it impacts them. So the story that they're going to write in their head is not going to account for all of the cost of doing business. So they may actually have those opinions if you choose not to be open book, but you can prevent them by being open book, because they can say, okay, yeah, we made X number of dollars in revenue, but guess what? Here's all the expenses that we had to take on. And oh, by the way, it's the end of the quarter, so now we have our quarterly taxes that are coming out, and this is how that impacts the business and our bottom line. And by the way, we have to pay employer taxes. So while you pay taxes out of your check, guess what? I pay taxes out of what I pay you. So you know, that clarity, I think, can create a culture of accountability that a lot of people are afraid of.
Yeah, and that's why so many people will be like, well, you know, you're taking all the money, so I'm just going to go own my own business. I'm just going to go start my own business. And, you know, that's the part that I'm like, you know what? And I'll help you. And I'll tell you all the things that you need to know and all the things that you need to watch out for. Because if you really want to do it, I want to help you do it. But I want you to also open your eyes to all the expenses and all the things that can happen. You know, just having insurance alone, you know, having workers' comp insurance, having all of that you need in order to run the business.
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. I have had people that have left my business and have started a business in the same industry multiple times. The thing that I always hear from them once we connect and, you know, we're grabbing a drink or we're grabbing lunch, they're like, man, I had no idea about, you know, this expense or that expense, you know, or, you know, by the time it's all said and done, I think I was making more money when I was working with you, Brian. It was like, yeah, you were. And you were making more money than I was making at the time when you were working with me, most likely as a business owner. And a lot of people just don't think about that unless they're in that seat.
And I want to help all the entrepreneurs that I work with, right? We're working on a new project where they're like, oh, I want, you know, somebody that's investing in them wants to see the financial model. And in my brain, I'm saying I can make a financial model, right? But that's not proof that you will be successful. That's just proof that I'm really good at a financial model. And I'm going to be realistic. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to take you 18 months before you hit profit. This is a standard industry standard for profitability of a product that you sell, 10 to 15% of retail. This is standard advertising that you're going to sell. This is all the standards, and I'm going to put it into a model, and the model is going to make sense. But that first 6 months when you're investing and something goes wrong in manufacturing and this and that, and I'll even allow for some of those things, but you just don't know what's going to happen. And so what I want to say is, here's a financial model, but let's talk about the people that are going to be starting the company. What's their commitment to making it successful? Because are they going to be up in the middle of the night thinking about it? Or do they have another job? The people who are in it 100% are the people that are going to win. And that's really hard, because you can't be in something 100% if you don't have money to live. So being an entrepreneur, it's that crux of, do I put all my time and effort into this, or do I put my time and effort into this other thing that makes me money? Like, how do you work on that together?
Well, the reality is, a lot of times people are trying to juggle both, and they feel like they're half in here, half in there. And that is oftentimes the hardest roadblock to overcome when it comes to owning a business, is that first one. That first one of profitability and sustainability. Because then I see, once you get past it, people have a similar journey that you do, right? It's like, okay, well, now I'm going to grow this one and I can sell a company. Now I've got capital, so I can do it again. And it becomes easier and easier as you go. It doesn't mean that you're more and more successful and you don't have hiccups, or you don't go off the model, or the model doesn't end up shifting, or the market doesn't turn. You still have all those same challenges, but you'll be better prepared to handle them and weather that storm once you've gotten through that first initial hump.
And that's true. And the other thing to remember is that with that, you need to have this commitment that you're going to do it. You're going to stay through all the way.
Love that. So I would love to, you know, kind of shift gears, because I know I want to be thoughtful of your time. But what would you say is something that drives you personally? And so what I mean by that is, you know, is there a particular habit that you practice on a daily basis? Is there something that you found personally that is really successful and has served you across all your different ventures?
Yeah, for me, I do think it's my brain that makes me crazy. I do think that it's these ideas that come up 24/7, that there's so much going on always, and I'm always striving to do something better. And I get frustrated when people don't have that same drive. And it's never the group of people that are working with me. It's the outside people, you know, whether it's your investors or your board members, you know, they're like, well, why don't you just do this? Or why don't you just do that? And so, but for me, it's like, I've already got 1,000 things in my head that I want to do. And the team is all going in one direction. And then it's the outside forces that are asking me why did you do this and why did you do that? And I never want to listen to them, never. Because I look, I know what I'm doing. I've done this before. Why are you giving me these ideas that I don't know are going to be successful? And so the hardest thing for me to do is to listen to those things, and to not listen to the words that they're saying, but to listen to the meaning behind them. And so if somebody says to you, why are you doing it this way? Instead of saying, because it's black, that's why I'm doing it this way, or because it's white, or because whatever, instead of answering the question, the hardest thing to do is to listen to, why are they asking that question? And what does that question mean? And that, I think, is when you know that you, I don't want to say have made it, but you can't be the only source of ideas and everything in your head. You have to listen to other people. But I never want to do it. So it's really hard for me to do that. And I don't know if that makes me successful or not successful, or makes me who I am. But I always feel like I've got all the answers, and I'm just a strong-willed person, and I've always been really independent. So I feel like I don't need help. But as entrepreneurs, we all need help. We need so much help.
Well, I think every superpower is also a weakness, right? And because in one hand, I could look at that value that you have, that skill set that you have, and say, well, that gives you tenacity, that gives you courage, that gives you confidence. All of those things are great things. And I could also take that same thing that you described and say, oh, well, that's stubborn. That's unwilling to change. That's not being open to feedback or not being coachable, or, you know, like either of those things could be true. So I think what you said is really important. It's what's the intent behind the question? And I think that if you're discerning enough to ask what is the intent behind the question they're asking, despite what it is, then that will help you navigate. And so maybe I'm saying if I could better define that trait that you shared, it's the discernment to know the difference between whether or not this is something that I need to be, consistent on, confident in, and I know my path, or whether or not I need to be open. Because being able to discern that based on the intent of the party and what their background is, what their credibility is, if it's in alignment with what you actually want, that is absolutely a skill set. But it's really easy to get it confused as either negative or positive based on your perspective.
Yeah, I think that is definitely, and I've been called both, right? I've been called stubborn and amazing in the same person, I think, too.
Me too. Me too. Yeah. Same.
Yeah. And difficult and challenging and not like everybody else. And why don't you follow the rules and all of those things. But that's, if I followed the rules and if I did everything that I'm supposed to do exactly how somebody else wanted it, I would never be here where I am today. I mean, the first business that I started, the accountant said I was crazy and the lawyer said, you'll never make it. And when I sold it, for almost $500,000, he said to me, I'm sorry I said that to you. Because he was the
only one. Isn't that the best lawyer motivation ever, though?
It is.
It same is for people. Yeah. I mean, just like, oh, man. Okay. If you want to see somebody do something, tell them they can't. You know what I mean? That is so true.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, Amy, and I've really enjoyed the conversation. I really have. And I know it's valuable to our listeners. We've talked about a lot of topics that impact everyone, regardless of where they are in business. Because, look, if you're out there, I'll break the fourth wall now, fellow theater kid here. If you're out there, you're listening, and this is you, and you feel like your business is running you, and you're not running it, here's your wake up call. Start to think about your financials. And guess what? If you have an accountant that you had a bad experience with, or a CPA, get a different one, right? Find the right fit. Find someone that has the patience to actually teach and be willing to learn. Because I think there is so much truth in the conversation we had today, in that, you know, you can be the best at what you do. But if you can't keep the lights on, if you can't keep people paid, if you're having to, struggle with the next month, making sure that you're there, then you can't do what it is that you do so well.
Yeah. Those are all true things. And there's so many more I could share for hours, but I really enjoyed the conversation. And I hope it was helpful.
I know it was. So, but I do want to give you an opportunity too. So if someone wants to reach out to you, to connect with you online, or, find out more about what it is that you do, what's the best way for people to find out more about you?
You can find me a few ways. One of my favorite ways is you can find me on TikTok. I'm a skincare genius. So if you'd like some tips and tricks about skincare and beauty, you can find me there. Definitely on LinkedIn, Amy Ann DeJohn. And you can also find me at amyann.com and medialabscience.com. If you just Google my name, my phone number comes up, which is a little scary.
That's probably why you get so many calls like I do, with all kinds of people trying to sell you insurance tell you all about all the tax credits that you could get. Yeah.
I love it. And, my goals this year are to be a general session speaker. I'm going to be speaking at a general session at the end of March. My goal is to share my story more and to help others and to be an advisor So I'm just putting it out there.
Love it. So, well, I know that one thing I've learned in podcasting is that it's evergreen. So there is definitely a person that's out there that will hear this, that will be a perfect fit and will want to get to know you, and you'll want to know them. So I really appreciate your time, and I hope that there's more connections that come from this conversation. And look, if you guys are out there listening, you enjoyed the conversation, all the links will be in the show notes. So we'll link Amy Ann's profile, and you can find her there. And if you enjoy this conversation, chances are you'll like some of the other podcasts we have within our network as well. So you can check out our full network of shows at smallbusinessdelivered.com. Just a shameless plug, most of you guys skip the episode at this point because the guest is already talking or done talking. But as you guys know, this show is sponsored and produced by Titan Media Works. I could not do what I do without having a fantastic team in the background of audio engineers, video engineers, booking agents to make sure that this show goes smoothly. So if you have a voice that needs to be shared, if you want to have a podcast, or you want to level yours up, make sure that you reach out to find out more, because they can take care of you. It is a done for you, easy button in the podcasting space. So, but until next time, make sure you guys are out there keeping the entrepreneurial spirit alive. And remember that no matter how small your business may be right now, I guarantee you, you have a very big story to tell. So tune in next time for another great story in business. Take care.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Amy Ann.